Everyone, let's pray together this morning to put this time in God's hands. And again, thank you for the opportunity that I have this morning to try to express God's word. That is always like a big challenge for everyone, and I'm always shaking and trembling. But let's put this in God's hands so He can speak to us. And like I said, probably this morning we are not going to go to any deep theology, but we're going to go to something that is really practical for our lives. And I think that's the most important thing. When we can put the theology in practice, and when we can reflect Christ and when we teach, that's when we actually going to start showing Christ in our lives. So let's put this time in God's hand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have this morning to be here. Thank you, because we are living in a country where we have freedom to do this. And right now, I also want to pray for the church, the persecuted church, in those places where it's a challenge to gather together to worship you. But no matter what the situations, they are faithful in gathering to worship your name. So we pray for all those people around the world. And I'm just praying also this morning for our hearts, that we can really focus in the scripture, that we can really be challenged to put all the little things that we're going to remember in practice. And help me to wait for you and to speak, that you can use me to speak to all of these members of this church. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the leadership. And I'm just praying that you can fill them with wisdom, and that they can be a testimony to us in everything that they do. I'm praying all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, this morning I'm going to continue like covering the letter of Paul to the Philippians. For me, it's been a really challenging letter. Like I said, I like to see, like, there is a lot of subjects, a lot of topics. But again, when you study every single chapter, you always are going to see Christ in everything. Christ, for me, that's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If someone asks me how you can define Christian life or being a Christian, it's to live Christ. That's easy. It's not like doing 17,000 rules. It's not going to this church or that other church. It's to live Christ. And that's the challenge. And it's sometimes it's hard, but Christ lives in us, and we have the power to live Christ. We cover all these things. We know that Paul is the author, Timothy. And they said, I'm going to read some verses here. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at the Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that this is the common way that Paul always greet the church. Everything is by God's grace. If you are here, it's by God's grace. If you are saved, it's by God's grace. If you are able to work in the process of sanctification, it's not for the things that you do. It's also for God's grace. And that's something that is amazing. If I can look every day more like Christ that I don't sometimes, it's by God's grace. It's not for my ability to do things. And that's what we're going to cover also. And then I like to see Paul thanksgiving and praying, or the thanksgiving or the thankfulness that he has for this church. You remember, they were committed to him from the beginning to the gospel. They were there. They were worried that he was in prison, and they were worried that what would happen to the gospel. But they were always there from the beginning, and they were sending offerings to this, to the apostle. They were always trying to take care of the evangelism. And that's something that we need to imitate. You know, that's something that we need to always focus. Yes, we love the doctrine. We love everything. We love to serve. But remember, we are here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that should be our motivation. Every day you need to wake up and you say, I need to find someone to share the gospel of Christ. And that was this church. They were committed there. And he was praying always for them. And you know the lesson of prayer. He was in the middle of a prison, an imprisonment. Really hard time. And he was praying with joy. I don't understand that. I mean, we went through a really horrible situation last year. And I didn't have joy. I can't even pray. Why you do that, God? But the lesson that I learned from Philippians and Paul, no matter the situation you are, you need to be praying with joy. And he wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for others. Thankfulness. He was praying with joy all the time. And then we said, like in verse 8, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with affection of Christ Jesus." And we covered last time that I had the opportunity, like how deep Paul loved this church. Are we loving each other with the same love that Christ loved you? That's the standard. And something that is really scary for me, a believer without love is nothing. It's not that scary. I can be the most eloquent guy. I can be the most smart and sharp theology in the world. But if I don't have love, the scripture said that I'm nothing. I'm just noise that bothers you and bothers God. Whoa, that's really impressive. But we're going to cover this time, I will try to cover, the last verse of the first part of the chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 10 to 14. I think that's my desire. But I think we're just going to go to 10 to 12 this morning. But we're going to read this section. I'm going to start verse 9. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Verse 12. "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel," verse 13, "so that I has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Wow, this is amazing. But this morning, I'm going to try to see the Paul's prayer for the Philippians. The first prayer request, or the first way that Paul prayed, we covered last time in verse 9. And he wanted them to love more and more. This love that is abounding, that is overflowing. And do you remember the definition of our Lord Jesus Christ said that the way that people is going to know that we are believers of Him is not for our doctrine, is not for our service, is not for our music, is not for the way that we think, it's for the way that we love each other. You know, God gave me the opportunity, I don't know if you know, to go to a Bible Institute in Argentina. And in Argentina, there is a huge population of Jewish people. And I had the opportunity to be involved with like a messianic teacher. And one of the things that he told us and taught us is that we have the clue or the key to open the heart of a Jewish guy when you want to preach the gospel. But you know what is the barrier or something that closed their heart? Is that we don't love each other. Say, look, you're fighting against you. People from the same church, they don't talk to each other and they are arguing and they don't talk to themselves. Do you think we want that Messiah that you are announcing? That was really terrible. And then I was thinking, oh yeah, but that makes sense. Jesus said that the way that they will know that we are true believers is for the way that we love each other. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." knowledge. The idea is that you need to go to the scripture and see, okay, how God loves me, how God loved the sinner, the forgiven sinner, the justified sinner, in a super deep way. That's the same way that I need to love my brother and sister in Christ. I don't have any excuse to don't love anyone. Even if I'm from another country, even if I have difference or I have a different point of view in some things in the scriptures, that's going to happen. Maybe you won't agree with what I'm saying, and that's totally fine. And I hope you come and say, no, you shouldn't be doing this. Go and sell light bulbs. That I even know how to do that. But you see, we need to love and we need to meditate and we have this knowledge. And when you see how Christ loves you, you just want to be able to love anyone. And they say with discernment, we cover that. It's not like, I love you so much. And I'm not talking about that. It's not like I feel not loved because you don't hug me and kiss me. No, that's not the idea. That's not the idea. But it's also when you love others, you're going to correct what is wrong, not to judge. We are really easy to point the miseries of someone else, but we are not that brave to restore that believer. I think that's one of the subjects that is missing, not in this church, in the Christian world and in my culture. You see people that they fall in sin. They have like a public punishment. Now you go and sit in the back seat. You're not allowed even to partake in anything to the church. Is that the biblical way to restore someone? Am I showing love, putting someone in discipline to the last chair? The challenge and the Paul's prayer is that our love may abound. It's a continuous action. Guess what? You loved me last week, right? Today you need to love me more. It's tough. I know I'm a weird guy. But that's what the Bible said. You need to love more, abounding, constantly, every day, never stop. That's amazing. But we're going to try to cover our verses this morning. Verse 10. So that you may approve what is excellent. And the second prayer for the Philippians, Paul wanted the church to have a spiritual discernment and spiritual values. And we are living in a world that is totally messed up, right? I'm afraid to have a little girl in this world that we're living. I'm honest with you. Like, I'm scared. I'm scared that I'm living in this world. I'm not that old. And I see how things already change. And like in 10 years, what it was wrong like 5 years ago today is something that people is like, oh, great, you are this and that. I'm afraid. I mean, can you imagine? I have a huge responsibility to teach my girl what is the right things in a world that is totally, the values are upside down. But you know what? Paul is going to pray for the same thing that we are living. It said that so that you may approve what is excellent. The idea of approve here is to test, to examine, to prove, to see whether something is genuine or not. The idea is like, you know how they test metals to see if they are genuine or not? Sometimes they need to be proved by fire. And if they are true, especially gold, when you put it under fire, all the trash is going to go away, and you will see how pure is that metal. That's the idea. Everything that you have, every decision that you need to make, every circumstance that you live, you need to be testing things. You need to be saying, okay, is this good? Is this better? And the idea is not that we don't need to have discernment between something good or evil. Because you are a newborn. You have Christ's mind in you. You are not to be choosing between good or bad. You are here to choose between what is good and what is excellent. You see, there is a completely scale or values in our Christian lives. And we need to be showing that to the world that we live, that the way that we think is completely different to the world. Do you understand that? Sometimes we make really easy and, I'm talking about me, foolish decisions. And this morning the Bible is teaching me you need to approve what is excellent. Paul is going to give the example how we can do that. Verses 21 and 24 to 24. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. Verse 24. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. You see, that's the way that we need to choose. I hope that you are here this morning, but your heart is like really, really intense in thinking the Lord is coming. I wish the Lord come today. I want to see Him. I want to see His face. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of living and being and having to face daily with sin. And I see myself and I'm like, look, when are you coming, Lord? I'm tired of being like, I have the desire to do things, and in my flesh I find out that I do the opposite thing. When are you coming, Lord? And that's amazing. But you know what? We have a mission here. We are here as a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my dear brother and sister, your life is the best track that we have to preach the gospel. Listen to me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be talking and preaching the gospel. But I'm talking that we need to live the gospel. We are the best gospel tract that someone can ever publish.
Amen.
So that you may approve what is excellent at different values. It's a big responsibility. The world needs to see this. That we make good decisions between the good and what is the best. In every circumstance. The way that you teach your kids. The way that you treat your wife. The way that you attend to church. The way that you love each other. The way that you buy stuff. The way that you think about politics, and I don't want to go that way. I'm who I am. I'm Mexican. I should talk about my country that is totally messed up. But it's not that. I believe that the pulpit shouldn't be the place to do that. But even when you need to vote and do that, you need to have this mind. I need to prove what is excellent. And there's not a lot of excellent out there, right? It continues saying, so be pure and blameless. The idea here of pure, I have another version that says it's sincere. And the word sincere means pure. But what I like the definition is without wax. And I was trying to say, why without wax? And it seems that in the Middle East, in the old times, you know, they used to, people work with pottery and all that kind of stuff, and they used to have like little shops that were really dark, like little tents, and people, they were selling all their product, and if you weren't smart enough, you will buy something, and then you go home, and you will see, oh man, this has a crack, but it has wax that is covering that. So the idea, like, or in smart people, we go to the place, take the little vessel or whatever piece of pottery, take it outside the tent, and it will be judged by the light of the sun. You know, it wax, when you're in that little dark place, you won't see it. But when this guy starts, like, putting in the sunshine, oh, look, here's a crack here. It's covered, but with the time, what is going to happen with that defect? It's going to break your beautiful jar that you wanted to buy. That's the idea, my dear brother. We need to live our lives without wax. I'm not talking about the wax that I'm putting in my hair. I buy a lot of that. But because if you don't want to see how my hair looks in the morning. But for me, it's that idea, without wax, sincere, pure, with no sin. But this is, The idea is not that we are not going to commit sins, because 1 John chapter 1 say that as a believers we're going to sin, right? I'm sorry, maybe I'm not as good, but I still do wrong things, and I still treat my wife in not the way that I should, and maybe I should. Sometimes I don't treat my co-workers in the way that I should, and I'm always having things that I was. This is not what God wants me to do, but the idea is like you need to be pure in the idea in the point that you need to be repenting for your sins and asking for cleanness after you commit sin. Let's go to 1 John for a while so I can explain this over there. 1 John, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My dear brother, you need to be pure every day in the way that you confess your sin and you forsake from your sins. Be careful. We're going to sin, right? Yes. But the sin in the Christian life is an accident, not a routine. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're going to fail and you're going to do something wrong. You're going to say something that you didn't want it to say. And you need to go to God's presence, pray for that, ask for forgiveness, forsake that, and don't do it again. That's the dynamic of a true Christian life, right? So the idea here is to be pure. To be pure and blameless. Let me see. This is the first time that I use my tablet, and I'm confused here. I think I'm old school. Next time I need to print my papers. There it is. The idea of this word, and so be pure, is just used twice in the scripture. The other time that is used is in 2 Peter 3:1. And like I said, it means judge by the sunlight. The meaning of this word, from this word comes the word sincerity. It means without wax. The idea is that we need to be transparent Christians. Nothing to hide. That's the idea when something is pure. Not that you're not going to commit sin. That's something that no one is teaching. We're sinners. Justified sinners, right? But when you are pure, is that you confess your sin and you don't have anything to hide. Have you remembered when you were little and you did something wrong? You know how horrible I was as a kid? I don't know how my mom survived for those many years. But when you did something wrong and you were hiding something, you were always like, oh, is he going to catch what I did? Is she going to find out that I broke her favorite jar? And what I'm going to do? And you're always with this kind of conscience issue, hiding from people, and if she calls you, you're like, oh, my mom is going to punish me, right? The idea here is that we need to be pure in the sense that we don't have anything to hide. No sin to hide in front of God's presence. A believer does not deceive because he lives in the truth. Am I right? And there is a consequence. Why I need to be pure and blameless? What I need to be like, having nothing to hide. Verse 10, for the day of Christ. The blameless believer for the day of Christ. Blameless, again, doesn't mean without sin. The believer must always seek for a conscience that won't accuse him for sin. Someone please can read Acts 24:16, please. Acts 24:16. Can someone read it for me, please?
In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men.
Before God and before men. That's the lifestyle of a true believer. Having a clean conscience in front of God and in front of all men. What a challenge. The reason of this lifestyle is because every believer will be examined in the day of Christ. For we will stand before the judgment seat of God. That's what Romans 14:10 said. An examination of life and service will occur. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a judgment or an event that will occur for believers. Verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Verse 14 and 15. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You see, in that day, the day of Christ that he's talking about, an event that will occur for believers, everything that you did for him is going to be tested. Everything, even your motivations. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says here, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to the light the things now hidden in the darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Are you waiting for the Lord Jesus to come? Yes or not? Amen. Everything that we did for him is going to be tested by the fire. Even our motivations. I'm not going to go deep in this, but what are your motivations to be here this morning? Are you here just to judge and say if the music was played in the right tunes? Are you here to judge me after I go back and see if I was theologically correct in all my definitions of the scriptures? What are the motivations? Why are you trying to preach the gospel? Just so you can come here and puff yourself in front of us? Look, I preached to 100 people this week. What is the motivation that we help in the nursery? What is the motivation that we come here to clean, if that's what you do? What is the motivation that we work at the sound? What are the motivations? In that day, all those things are going to be exposed. Are you afraid of that judgment? I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid. I don't know how many of the good things that I did for the Lord will be, that I made it with the right motivation. So for me this morning is, I need to approve what is excellent. I need to present myself pure and blameless for that day. You know what? Because I want to have something to offer to him when I'm in his presence. Because I want to be not recognized maybe what I did in the earth, but I want to have something to put under his feet when I'm in his presence. You know, the scripture said that many in that day will go far away from him shameless. You know why? Because they won't have anything to offer. If our Lord Jesus will come to right now, will you have something to offer and put under his feet? Is your service this morning something that is a nice perfume in God's presence? Blameless for the day of Christ. You see, I'm waiting for that day to come, but at the same time, I'm scared. I don't know what I'm going to have to offer for him. Even my motivations are going to be judged. This judgment won't be based on the exterior things. This judgment will be performed to reveal the sincerity of believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Another warning in 2 Peter 3:11. 2 Peter 3:11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? My dear brother, remember, even your service to the Lord needs to be pure and blameless. I know that I'm saying weird things. My service can be not sincere, and that's scary. My service to the Lord can be not blameless if I have the wrong motivations. Verse 11 in Philippians chapter 1. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And this is going to be the third prayer for the Philippians. He wanted, and he was praying for them that they can have fullness of a fruitful life. The believer filled with the fruit of righteousness. The idea of this word filled is, you know, something that is filled at the top. It's like when you pour your favorite drink in a glass, you don't put like half of a glass. I mean, I don't do that. I try to put it as filled as I can, and even if it's filled a little bit, that's the idea of this word. Our fruit of righteousness, and the idea is something is filled to the top, that there is no room for something else. We don't need to present ourselves just pure and blameless, but the believer must be like a tree filled with the fruit of righteousness. Someone can please read for me Psalms 1, verse 3. Maybe you know it by memory. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you. The believer yields its fruit of righteousness at any time. If someone can find for me Proverbs 11:30. This is the practical righteousness in the believer in identification with Christ. It is the expression of Christian virtues leading or reflecting a righteous life. Please, Proverbs 11:30. Again, wins souls. This is the purpose of every believer, to bear much fruit. Let's go to John chapter 15. We're not going to read all this. You guys know everything about this, but I just want to mention it really quick. John 15, 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word, and I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Are we a tree full of fruit of righteousness? The fruit of righteousness is a life driven by the Holy Spirit and not by the flesh. And the question for me is, how am I supposed to bear this fruit? I know John 15 said that if I'm With Christ, I'll be able to bear much fruit. But let's see, all this comes through Christ again. The fruit of righteousness is possible as a result of the union that we have with Christ. John 15:4-5, we read that. The believer that is driven and controlled by the Holy Spirit is living in the path of justice. When our Lord Jesus saved us, He transferred us from sin to justice, right? Romans talks a lot about that. That we are a slave to what? To justice. We were a slave of sins, right? But now we are slaves of justice. And we need to produce this fruit. But guess what? It's not something that you can do by your own. It's something that you are going to do because Christ is in you. And He's the one that is going to give you the ability, the tools to accomplish all this. The believer is not saved. It's not saved by works, but is saved for works. James 2:26. We're not going there. We already know all that through the teachings that we have here in the church. The Holy Spirit reproduces in every believer Christ's character, in which God is pleased. The fruits of righteousness make evident the reality of a transformed life by the power of God. Listen to this. God's demands can be produced by the believer, but they can be produced through Christ in the believer. I know I'm saying a lot of weird things. I don't even understand me. I'm going to repeat it. God's demands can be produced by the believer, right? But they can be produced through Christ in the believer. Can we bear fruit of justice this morning? Yes, we do. Because Christ lives in you. He has set your mind in our hearts. He changed and transformed our whole life. So now we can produce fruits of justice. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that God's grace? Who I am? If I can do something for God's work, if I can be involved in missions, it's not because I'm so talented to do that. It's because Christ lives in me, and it's through Christ that I can do all those things. You see, there is no room for pride here. I'm tired of prideful people. That they stand in pulpit and say, look how great I am. Look how many missionaries I can support. Look how many things I do around the world. It's not for you. It's because Christ lives in you that you can do all those things. If I can be standing here in front of you, it's not because I'm qualified to do this. It's because Christ lives in me. If I can love my wife, if I can love my kids, if I can be here even in the middle of the conflict and even in the middle of horrible circumstances and unknown things, it's because Christ lives in me. And He is helping me to do everything. So what? Verse 11, let's continue. I think I'm out of time. To the glory and praise of God. Dear brother, your service, your love for each other, is not so you can say, oh, look, this guy is amazing. It's that the world can see the glory of God and praise Him. You see, I have a lot of conflicts in my life. I'm a conflicted man. But something that really bothers me is we're living in a world of people that are trying to steal God's glory. And they want to get the praise to themselves and not to God. My dear brother, what is the motivation of your service this morning? Are you here so I can see how spiritual you are and how horrible I am? Are we here to talk to each other how good and how great our ministries are outside here? Or are we here because we want God's glory and we want people to praise Him? Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You see, there is no room for pride. There is no room for me. There is only room for God's glory. I'm not going to go to verse 12. I'm just going to finish this time maybe in prayer. Like I said, this is for me. You know, God gave me the opportunity to, as soon as I get back from the Bible Institute, to be involved in a church planting ministry. And when I was studying this, I recognized that I did a lot of things wrong. We run kids ministry, youth ministry, 20, 30, 35, 40. Like high school ages. And you know what? I need to recognize my motivation was, look, I can do this. And the other churches can't. What is my motivation to serve Jesus Christ this morning? In every decision that I make, am I having the discernment to choose between what is good and what is excellent? Are you wanting to see Christ? Amen? But remember, your life and your service is going to be examined by Him. Even your motivation. Am I today filled with the fruit of righteousness? Can the people see me outside the church where I live and see my works and give glory to God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this little meditation that we can have in your word. And thank you because we can see the way that Paul loves this church, the way that he wanted to pray for them. First, that their love can abound more and more. He knew that it wasn't an easy task. And it's not easy to love me. It's not easy to love each other. But the love of Christ has been poured in our hearts. And now we don't have an excuse to love each other. The second prayer is that He wants them to have a spiritual discernment and spiritual values. We live in a world that is totally messed up. And we need to stand as a believer, the ones that believe in Christ, that make the decisions according to what is good and what is best. Help us, Lord, to remember that You are coming. There is a lot of things that are happening, and I know that You won't let the world to get more corrupted, and You're going to come and stop everything. But help us to remember our life, our service, even our motivations are going to be exposed that day. Am I serving You today for the right motivation? Help us, Lord, to be filled fulfilled with the fruit of righteousness. Help us to work, to be driven by the Holy Spirit and not by our flesh. Help us to be able to show to everyone that You lives in us, and so that people can praise You and glorify Your name. Know the way that we act, not our service. We want them to glorify our Lord, our Savior, and the Lord that is above the service. Give us a good time and help us to prepare our hearts to the sermon this morning. And help us to put all this in practice. I'm praying all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.